Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Desiree Gardner is a South African writer and actress. Her writing for television and film include the productions Binnenlandes on CakeNet, Flesh and Blood for Word of Mouth Pictures, Dance on CakeNet, Levenslank on CakeNet, Dollar on CakeNet, and many others. Her writing for stage include the productions Machtelo, Stil Grote Anmaar, Ampermoy. As an actor, she has appeared in many productions, namely Ansie for Sevende Laan on SABC, Darlene on Binnenlanders on CakeNet, Carmen on Sait Ooster for CakeNet, Machtelo on Machtelo for CakeNet. Desiree has been nominated for a number of SAFTA, Tempo and Silver Scarum Awards, and she has won the Silver Scarum Award for Best Actress in a Comedy in 2023 and 2024, and the SAFTA Award for Best Supporting Actress in a Film in 2012. Up next on Celeb Savant, discussing her journey in the entertainment world and her latest project, which can be seen on Showmax called Rainbow Grant, is Desiree Gardner.
Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I'm actually in Grootbrak Rivier at the moment, and I live here. I've been living here for about 4 to 5 years. It's such a beautiful place to live. My parents are close by, so it helps, you know, with my two kids, so we don't have to go to travel with work and so on. And it's just nice to be in a place where they are nearby. And of course, it is absolutely heaven. And I'm doing really great. Yes, it's nice to be here.
Where is that? I've never heard of that place.
I'm going to go even further. We live in a place called Hersham, which is like a little sub. It's like on the coast of between Mossel Bay and George. So yes, yeah, so it's a beautiful area, and you know, busy during December, chill during the year. Fantastic place to live. Yeah.
Okay, so now let's rewind. At what age, whether you were a child or teenager, did you feel cool? I want to be in this creative arts, the entertainment world. And how did that journey progress?
You know what? I think I've always kind of known. And it's a strange thing because I always felt more comfortable when I was not in my own skin, if I can put it like that. You know, I'm one of those people who I'm a little bit, they say in Afrikaans, lomp, like I'm clumsy. You know, so I will often be the one who drops the plate at the buffet. And then since I was small, when I take on a character, when I tell stories, I just feel a little bit more able. And I think that's where it started. And then, you know, then I started doing Kinsley Stratford, stuff like that. And that's, you know, during that time where people actually said, okay, you know, there's something there. I just love to escape to another world, you know, in my imagination or with characters. So it really did happen at a very young age, actually. And then as I got older, I decided I want to go study drama. I want to take the risk. So I studied drama at Tux in Pretoria. After that, you know, I did what everyone with a degree in drama does. I did some parties where I was a clown, and I did a few children's theatres. I did puppet theatre shows, those kind of things. And from there, I got my first role in Sevende Laan, which was short-lived, but it was about a month, you know, so it kind of put me on the map. And after that, I got an audition for Binnenlanders. And I think that's kind of where my career set off. In between that, I also got a very, very short, small role in Usim Diesel, which was on SABC 2 at that time. And then from there, it was Binnenlanders. Binnenlanders became a long, like, 8-year gig. And then from there, Sait Ooster in between a few movies here and there. And yes, now I am here where I'm starting to focus also on the writing as well, which is really great. I really love that.
You already referenced that you what was the word? You lump. So in that, you prefer portraying and being other characters because it makes you able. But beyond that, what else do you enjoy about acting?
I think it's I actually watched something yesterday. I think it was that Jim Carrey spoke about how we as artists take all our kind of broken pieces and we create something beautiful out of it, you know, and I think that is, I think that's why a lot of the times people in the industry, even artists, all artists actually really, you know, are very complex because we kind of sometimes hold on to some things that we know we can use later to either write a story or create a character. So I think I really love that. I love the escapism that comes with it. I love that feeling just before I go onto stage, I can hear the people in the audience and I know I've got to be on that stage for an hour on my own, even though it's terrifying. But I also really enjoy that. You know, I'll never be a person who jumps off out of a plane or something, but that is kind of like my thrill. So I think it's that feeling of feeling alive and really feeling like you're connecting to other people with, you know, creating stories. And obviously, you know, there's such a beautiful thing when you write a sentence and people read it and cry or laugh, you know, to be able to get that emotion out of someone. It's something that it's a blessing and it's really a privilege. So I really love that. I love connecting to people's hearts. Sometimes it's from one broken heart to the next. But I love that connection that you feel with people.
So for you, what is the difference between being on the stage doing a theater show compared to being in front of the camera?
I think it's a lot more terrifying to be on stage because especially with my one woman shows, I did quite a few last year and the year before that where I traveled with it. And, you know, you know for a fact that if something goes wrong on that stage, you are the only one who can fix it, you know, so I think it's a lot more terrifying when you are on stage, but the instant gratification is so much different. You know, you've got the people in the audience, strangers, just a face, like a sea of faces, but somehow they become your counterpart. They become the other person in the play. And I love that. I love that connection that you immediately build with them, having fun together, you know, where on television and film, it's also great. I must say, I really love that. It's a lot less terrifying for me, I think, because, you know, if something happens, you know, you can cut. And I know people often say this, you can cut and say, that's fine. You don't want to. But, you know, there's that option where I think on stage, you've got to be on your feet the whole time because you can't, you know, lose face. You've got to be constantly, even if something goes wrong, you've got to pretend like it's part of the show.
Exactly.
So, I enjoy that as well, strangely enough. But both, I really love both. I'm not one of those people who say I prefer this or that.
Yeah, yeah.
I love all the aspects of the industry.
A lot of times these days, people have the 15-second attention span. And then what comes with that is the cell phone comes out and I get so frustrated. Like yesterday I was at a theater production show and this woman who was sitting like right in front of me, oh, let's take out her cell phone and start WhatsApping. And I was like, can you please switch your cell phone off? You know, and I got a dirty look. And then in movies as well, oh, I can't keep attention for more than 10 seconds. So let me take my cell phone out because I can't do more than one thing for longer that period of time. What are your perceptions and observations of this, what I find so frustrating?
Oh, it is very frustrating. And I think it's you know, it's a global thing. We've come to a place where we watch TV while we're on our phones, like you say, and we probably have music in the background while we're quickly chatting to someone on the side. It's becoming absolutely ridiculous. But I think what we can do in that sense is to really try and then incorporate all of those things into a show, you know, so trying to make it fast paced and then to, you know, give them that kind of more than one thing at one stage. You've got the SMS screen on the television while these people are talking. And as soon as you, I think, have them, then you slow them down, you know, and then you go, okay, now I've got you, now breathe and watch. But I think it also, you know, it's for us as people, we need to sometimes just put on our phones. And I think sometimes that happens. You know, I mean, yesterday I was scrolling and I saw some things and I was like, you know, actually, I just need some time off of the scroll month because I don't actually want to know everything that's going on. So I think we are reaching, you know, we are also in a place where people are starting to become a little bit more, you know, we are interested in our mental health and we like, okay, sometimes I need to switch this off. I need to go. And I think the fact that there are still films and series that are doing so well, people are still binge watching. I think we can still, you know, we can still have that moment of if we grab them in the first, say, episode, and then we've got them and then they'll maybe even put down their phones.
For you, the difference of being on a show for 8 years, creating a character for a month, or being in a movie that is a once of character, what is the difference between those different elements?
I think the wonderful thing that I've learned, because I played two really long parts, one on Binnenlanders, one on Zuid-Oosted, and I tend to go back to it as well. And the two characters are Dalian and Magda, that's the older one, the Carmen. And I think what I've learned is when I do a character for so long, I can really tell you exactly how they will be able to respond to a situation. So it's almost like you are starting to create a whole different person, and you get to know them on a cellular level. You know, yep. If someone has to wake me up and say, how would Carmen or Dalian react? It's two different reactions. The one would be like this. But the wonderful thing is that you get to know them, where with a movie, it's we don't always have time to get to know the person. So we've got to almost get, it's like having a short relationship with someone, having a fling, or then, you know, being involved with someone for a long time. It's almost exactly the same, because you get to know that person, you fall in love so quickly, it's crammed, and then you've got to let go of that character. And both are great ways of, you know, learning in this industry. I think, you know, that there's that, I think it's 50,000 hours, that rule, or that thing that they say that you've got to spend a certain amount of hours with your craft. And I think especially with soap in our country, thank goodness we still have that platform. You know, like you say, people are involved, people are invested in those characters, and thank goodness they still do that. Those are the hours that you actually get to learn how to keep a character interesting, even though people have seen her on screen for 6 or 7 years. And that's a different kind of method that you have to apply. So I love both. I love both, but I think it's a different way. The one you've got to know, you're going to fall in love with this person. You're going to have a 1 month, period with this character, and then you've got to let them go. And the other one, you know, okay, this is long term. I'm going to love you even though I don't like you sometimes.
I love Soapy. So I'm not sure if you're aware, because they took it off our screens, but Days of Our Lives, Bold and Beautiful, Young and the Restless, they're still being produced overseas. I mean, Days of Our Lives, I think, is in the 60th or 61st year. I wish they'd bring it back. Yeah, I don't know why the powers that be in this country think, oh, we're not interested, when it was like one of the top rated. Anyway, that's my vent for the moment. But when you've got a character that you've been playing for a long time and you know how she would react, have there ever been incidences when the writers gave you a story arc or story thing to portray and you just felt like, this is not how she would roll or do or, you know, interact? And did you think, okay, cool, let me chat with the writers, or did you just flow with it?
So I must be honest with you, I love it when that happens. I love it when I read a script and I go, she would never do this. She would never do this. Because I find that in my own life, I sometimes do stuff and then I'm like, oh my word, how did I do? I would never do something like that. And then, I sometimes find that, especially, you know, if sometimes you find it's brave. The writers are sometimes brave in their writing, because they do something that they know this character would never do that. But I think that we often do that in our own lives. We do stuff that we wouldn't do. And I think what's nice is then to read that and to then go and try and find out why. Why is she doing this? You know, that kind of thing. If we listen, we don't judge. That's the same with the characters. It's like, I hear you. I don't judge you. I've got to now find a sincere reason inside of me why she would do something so completely ridiculous and so completely out of line. So I see that as a challenge most of the time, because then I've got to see if I can make it believable enough to make it make sense.
And still on the soapies, so, you know, soapies are on our TVs every day of the week, 5 days of the week, however long. I read this because I used to have a subscription to Soap Opera Digest, which is an American magazine. Unfortunately, they've stopped publication in the physical format. And a lot of the actors had incidences where, because they're on the, you know, on the screen every day, people would come in and see them as a character, not as their individual selves. So were there any incidences that you experienced where fans came through and was like, why is she doing that? Or were they able to separate?
So most of the time, I think they can separate. Although when you do something wrong, they are irritated with you. You know, like your face. They don't want to see that face, because I know, because I also watch TV a lot. So there's that thing of like, oh my word. So I would have, you know, many times people would grab me in the pick and pay or whatever and say, listen, what you're doing is really wrong, and we're very upset with you and so on. But the one time that I really saw that there was a bit of a, like, this, it was children, so shame, it was sweet, but they thought I was really the Carmen character. And what happened is, I was married in the story, I'm married and I've got a child with this man, Rafik, my co-star, and then I left and I came here to Groot Brak, and I had the two kids, my actual two children, and I was taking them out of the car. And they were standing next to me, and this little boy came to me and he said, now in Afrikaans, I'll just translate. He's like, auntie, are they also Rafik's children? I was like, So he really thought, okay, sort of doing good burn my ticket. And that was so beautiful. So you do get those moments you get sometimes where people are really upset with you and they're like, listen, I don't think that what you did was right. But then I'll like laugh and say, are you kidding or do you? And sometimes, you know, there's that suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
I love it though, because that means that what you're doing is believable enough for people to go into that world.
Now, have you always been interested in writing and being behind the scenes? And when did that transition kick into gear?
I've always loved writing. I've always, you know, because even in school, I would write my own plays and I would write. So writing's always been a big part of it. But I really wanted to act when I was younger because that was the dream. And then that happened. And when I left Binnenlanders, they actually gave me an opportunity to write for them. So that was like my first job into the industry where I started writing. Obviously, I had to do the audition process and so on. So I wrote for them. And from there were other, you know, dance came and Laima Obelinda and Prong Primer and Magda Lau. And so things just kind of went from the one thing to the next. And it's something that I really enjoy because it's something that I can do from home. And still, it's a place where I can find total escapism. I mean, writing is so wonderful because it's like reading, you know, your imagination has no budget. You can just write whatever you want. And yeah, love it so much. Yeah.
Are you 50% acting, 50% writing, or is one more than the other at the moment?
I think at the moment I'm leaning more towards the writing, but it's solely because of where I am in my journey. You know, so I've got two kids in primary school, single mommy with my two kids. So it helps. It's more convenient, you know, because I can do it from home. I can write. I can tell stories. But I'm also at a place where I'm still acting. You know, so when I do get the opportunity, I go and I do things because I still really love it so much, and I really love becoming another, you know, character. So even in the years when I've started writing and focusing more on that, I've still tried to do at least one or two acting gigs per year just to keep the engine, you know, going.
Yeah.
Okay, so now tell us about this latest project that is on Showmax called Rienbuchrand. Is that correct pronunciation?
That is beautiful.
Okay. So for the listeners and the overseas listeners, my Afrikaans is not great. In fact, not great at all. So I'm trying my best at this moment. What was the inspiration behind the show? What was the spark for you to say, okay, I want to do this? And how did the whole process come to fruition?
So this is one of those wonderful things that happened to me, you know. So it was lovely. What happened was that Tian van Niekerk, who is my assistant head writer, head writer on the show, he went to Son Veldt, Sunay Komrink and Ando Veldt. And he said, you know, because he had read those books when he was a child. They decided that they wanted to pitch it. They were in the pitching process with Showmax when they involved me, and they said, listen, you know, we want to do this, but we want to have a modern flair. We want to make it a little bit more everyday life, you know, but we want that little essence, that nostalgia of the books in it as well. And so that's when I came in. I read the books for the first time, knew about it, but didn't read it when I was young. So it was great because I actually read it as a person in my 30s. And I think those are the audience members that we really want to catch. You know, we want to grab the people who read the books, and we want to grab the people who are seeing it for the first time. And I think that kind of came together. And yeah, I think I read about three pages and I was just completely hooked because it's what I mentioned earlier, the writing is so brave because your main character does things that you are floored by her decisions. You cannot believe that she would do it. And it's so wonderful because you get so upset and so like anxious, you know, because of the decisions that she makes, but you can't stop reading and now hopefully can't stop watching. So she's an interesting, very, all of the characters, but especially the Shani, the main character, she just completely, she catches you off guard the whole time. So you kind of constantly on the back foot going, what are you doing, girl? You know, and I think that's a very lovely, interesting character to create. And those were in the books from Louise van Niekerk back then. She already created her, you know, like that, very brave. And I think from there, we could just make her more modernized, make the world different, you know, create the world where we live in now. A little bit different from the 90s, but yeah, to create that essence, nostalgia with modern day life, all like, you know, together in one.
So what is the story? Tell us the overview of the story.
So the story in general is about the Brink family, the drinkgesin, and it's like it's the mom and the dad with the four kids. The central character is Shani, and she's got her sister who's a little bit older than her. You know, Shani's kind of like the one that is always a little bit off the rails, and Sunette's the perfect one. And then they've got Dorf, the brother. He's the head boy. He's really one of those kids that everyone looks up to. He's, you know, the Wifsian. And I think, and then they've got the smaller sister, and then they've got the grandmother living in the house as well. So that's basically your premise. If you think about it, it's actually so ordinary, and I love ordinary stories because it's this family in Reenbergrand that's set in Tshwane, and this is where they live and this is their life. But then it's all those beautiful human elements that we can't run away from, whether we are 16 or, you know, 50 or whatever. Is we can't run away from those elements, the loss, the love, falling in love, falling out of love, losing someone, getting, you know, hurt, not fitting in for the wrong reasons, all those things that, you know, in general, we think those are teenager themes, but it also bleeds over to the rest of the family. And that was lovely because Showmax also gave us the green card to really invest in our parents as well. So we see a lot, those are all stories that we created from scratch for the mom and the dad, just to also bring in a little bit more for that, so that we can have a lot of people watching and relating to the different people in this family.
Being a head writer, what does that mean?
I was saying to someone the other day, it's almost like writing with an eraser. You know, so I'm used to when I start something on my own, I write with my pen, and then sometimes, although you do write with your pen as a head writer, but sometimes you also have to write with an eraser because you work with a team, you know, so sometimes you've got to say, oh, let's take that out. Let's rather put this in. Let's change this. We can't set this on the moon, like in the book or whatever. We've got to change that. We've got to create this. So sometimes it is like writing with an eraser, but I think in general, it's an amazing challenge because you've got to look at someone. You've got to look at what they're writing. You've got to have six different writers and it's got to sound like the ink is coming out of the same pen. And that's challenging. But I really enjoyed it. And I think I have a wonderful team working with me as well. And then of course, you've got to be able to create new stories. You've got to take stories and twist it a little bit, change this a little bit, change this character. Oh, we've got too many, you know, we've got too many people. Let's merge these two characters.
Yeah.
You've always got to be open. You know, if it's a thing of, no, we can't have a swimming pool. Okay, we've got to change it. You know,
yeah.
It's being flexible with the story and really looking at what is the theme of the beat instead of saying, but we have to have a swimming pool because it plays, you know, next. You've got to be able to be creative in with that eraser.
Did the author of the book, were they involved at all or not at all?
No, they were obviously notified, and you know, they gave the permission and said that we can use the material, but Louise wasn't involved in the process at all. You know, kind of like she gave it. And also the nice thing is it's based on. So we are allowed to make changes. We are allowed to, you know, create whole new characters or put in whole new storylines. And that's what's nice. But we really wanted to stay true to especially the big, you know, the big stories, the big themes in the book. We wanted to stay true to that.
And how many episodes?
So it's a 90 episode. Wow. So it's good. there's a lot coming. But it is in two different seasons. So you've got first 45 seasons, and then the next season will happen after that. I'm not exactly sure how long the break will be in between. But as far as we've written it, we hope that by that episode 45, there's such a big, now I forget the word.
Cliffhanger.
Anyway, thank you. Cliffhanger. So yeah. It's such a big cliffhanger that you're almost going to really wait, you know, and want to see the next series, because I think by that point we'll all love the characters so much and be invested in them, you know, with all their stuff and their issues and stuff, we'll be invested in the characters themselves.
It's on now at the moment, correct?
Yes, that's correct. The first six episodes are available on Showmax.
Okay. And then they get released over a period of time. Lovely. Could there possibly be a season three, or that's not even a thought at the moment?
I mean, there's always the hope, you know how it is. We're always hoping, because the thing is, and you know, I was actually speaking to my producer today as well, is you always, even though you will tie most of the knots, it's always nice to have a few loose ends. Even when a season completely ends, you know, you always have to keep, because that's how life is. There's always loose ends, you know, wherever we find ourselves, we have those loose ends. So even if it's not big ones or massive ones necessarily, we'll keep some of the ends loose just to make sure. Because it's always the hope. You know, we always, as writers, as creators, as actors, as artists, we always hope that the people would want more of whatever, you know, we are creating. So that would always remain the hope, definitely. Yeah.
Now, once you've written and all of that's done, are you there while filming is taking place or not?
Unfortunately, not in this situation because they are shooting in Gauteng, so I'm here. So it's a little bit difficult. But you know, I've had like Machtelo is a comedy season that I've written. We're starting to shoot the third one now in February. Now there, I actually play the character, so that's nice because you're there on the floor. You know, you can sometimes say, "Ooh, actually." I don't try to get in too involved because I'm not a director, but you know, I would sometimes be like, just by the way, that's not what I meant, you know, so it's cool to be there. Yeah. But I think it's also in a way, it's maybe good for the writer to write and then the job ends there because they will often phone and say, listen, there's this or that. So it's great, but it's almost like taking, you know, the batter and giving it to the director and saying, yes, this is how I'm going to bake the cake. And I think if it's, you know, what they say about too many cooks in the kitchen. So I think it's good that it also kind of has an expiry.
Yeah, it makes sense. You mentioned Machtelo, Rainbow Grant. Anything else that you can tell us? I know it's all very secretive in this world. Or are you just busy with those two things at the moment?
At the moment, I am busy with another project, but it's one of those situations where, you know, it's like, disclaimer.
Yes.
But, NDAs, but I am busy with something very exciting. I can tell you it's also comedy related. And I think it's going to be something really fresh and new. So I am busy with something else. And then, you know, I've got my one man shows that I do. And I've got another show that's coming up with my co-star that plays Ada, the character. We are going to do a play at some of the big festivals this year. Yes, exciting things coming up and
busy.
Busy. Yeah. But you know what? When you're a freelancer, you're just like, thank goodness for that. Yes. Because the ebb is here, but the ebb and the flow, you know. So I love it.
So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
I think, you know, just that people must continue to watch stories to find their escape in that. It's a wonderful thing that happens when you sit down and you get involved and you actually invest in a story or in characters. And I think we need it. I think we often think these days we escape into the news, scrolling the news, you know, and that's not really a place for us to escape to because we're not escaping our reality.
No.
We still, you know, even though we're older, we still have to have that childish fantasy of going into a story and believing we are that character or in that book, whatever, wherever you find it. So we need to escape the reality is what I think. And I think we must just never lose that magic because then we're going to find a place where we are going to not want to do it at all anymore. And that's going to be a scary world to live in, I think.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.